I'm Dorothy. In the mid-1990s, a group of older women shared their experiences of feminism at 10:40 dinner and discussion evenings. Their stories were recorded on tape. The podcast that you're about to hear is made from one of these recordings. The following questions shaped their stories. What attracted you to feminism? How has feminism impacted on your life? What have been your positive experiences of feminism? Have there been any disappointments? And what are your issues now? This is Joy's story.
10:40 doesn't describe me, it's more like 25:61. So the first question was, what attracted me to feminism? It allowed me to not only see myself as an individual, no longer just a part of a family or a wife or a mum or a woman, but also allowed me to see myself as a woman. And it's particularly given me the opportunity to look at conditioning and femininity, which was very much my life before 1970. I was the eldest of three daughters, and I grew up in a tiny port in Western Australia. I had a dad who was very active around trade union, left-wing politics and community activities, but a mother who was only really supportive around community activities. The children were sort of aware of the Cold War politics of the 50s, but pretty much protected by our parents from that. It was a town with a population of about 1,400. It was a hard little place, windy and hot, and not very much in the way of paid work for women. And I left the city at 18 to nurse in Fremantle, vowing to move to the eastern states, which I did at 22, married to a New South Welshman. However, while I was in Perth, I used to visit the friend of a family, a woman who was as old as my parents, but really good on women's issues, and she took me along to a function which Catherine Susanna Pritchard spoke, and maybe that was the beginning of an awareness of being a stronger woman. So by the 60s, I had two small daughters. One was quite ill. I was fairly isolated and again on the fringe of left-wing politics through a husband and divorced. Newcastle was a man's town, little in the way of paid work of women. I joined the Union of Australian Women in the 60s, which was mostly active around peace and price issues, and some of the work was around the lack of work for women and children's rights. I was around the Vietnam moratorium churning out leaflets that were handed out in that period, and also on the fringes of the sexual liberation movement, not terribly involved because I had two small kids. But I felt, even though being part of the Union of Australian Women or around those politics, I had no one to talk to about childcare issues, about isolation, relationships, contraception. And I had that feeling of treading water and not being able to touch firm ground. In 1969, I read an article in The Australian by Helen Nilsson, Breaking the Chains, or Women Breaking the Chains That Bind Us, and then a small par by Henry Mayer in The Australian that three women had got together in Sydney forming this body called Women's Liberation, and a conference was coming off. So I said to the kid's father, I'm going, and I caught the 2:30 train in the morning and went to that first conference in Melbourne. So that was 1969. So how has feminism impacted my life? I guess in one sense it built on an early rebelliousness, but in number it has really changed my life, giving me some understanding about power. It's allowed me to become more independent and given me a direction. In the early 1970s, one of my kids was hospitalised for 2 years in Sydney, about the beginning of the time of women's liberation, and on her return I needed to leave the workforce, and the other child at that time left home. I ended that three-year relationship that I was in at that time, and it was then I thought that drinking was the only way that I'd survive that sort of time, but I didn't. Fortunately, feminist friends were there to help with that direction I needed. I kept in touch with the Sydney Women's Liberation. I used to come down every 2 weeks to visit this child in the hospital, and I brought back those journals and newspapers, and we used to sell them on the streets in Newcastle, the group that we got together around Women's Liberation. We held consciousness-raising groups. We staged a sit-in in a pub. We screen-printed things. We participated in community fairs and sold tablecloths and all sorts of things emblazoned with the women's sign and clenched fists symbol. We ran women's dances, and we did something at the Steggles Chicken Factory, which I can't remember now what that was about. We also had a demonstration on the steps of the town hall. It was the time they handed out the awards on apprenticeships in the year. There were 27 for boys, and there was one for girls, which was hairdressing. We set up a women's house close to the city, and in 1975 we brought down a busload of women to that terrific International Women's Day march. And the next question was their positive experiences from feminism. by 1970, and or in that first few years, life was fairly tumultuous, and I needed to get down to the bigger scene, and I came down here in 76. I worked in a bookshop for 4 years, which brought in and sold overseas New Left publications, feminist, and I think we had the first gay publications. Then I would decide I'd go back and do my HSC and had a shot at university. In this time, heterosexual relationships had gradually run down and became less attractive. I really felt then at that time I needed to be much more part of my community. And community shop fronts were being set up and festivals were being held in the suburbs. And I was lucky enough to plug into my neighbourhood centre, which had a number of gays and feminist workers in it. I was also very lucky to get public housing in Surry Hills. And so in the next 8 years, around 9 years, I developed community skills. I hadn't had any experience in funding applications or being part of a community like that. It was a real turnaround for me, and for 3 years I was on my own housing estate encouraging fellow tenants to take up a role of negotiating with the management, housing management. But seven of us then went off, with seven others I went off and formed a tenant development project where we were encouraging tenants to look at what was going on in the estates and then dealing with our managers, etc. By the end of the first year, we got the year of Frank Walker, and were able to set up, get funding for tenant councils across the state. It wasn't easy on the estate to raise feminist issues with women. All of us had, when you don't get public housing unless you're sort of bottom of the pile. However, to me, that was a really good experience. It was largely older women who took up those issues. And I think on those estates we need that involvement of women to build a sense of security and support amongst fellow tenants. In our own community centre, I helped to bring in things like hack services, and with the women we ran things like gentle exercises and English classes, grief and loss. And that was a really positive time for me. And I went off 1 year on a paid job with these fellow tenants, setting up that service. I said I began to feel so good. I began at that time to and have maintained that relationship with a woman, a long-standing great relationship with a really great woman. So some disappointments for me in feminism, there aren't very many. I see myself as a very average woman, and in those early days it was very much a student movement. I felt rather on the fringes, I think, that particularly also because I had small children and there didn't seem to be much of a place in there, but nevertheless it just turned my life around. I've actually tried ever since to be where low-income women are and to develop those concerns. Other disappointments are that I've never overcome the divide with my eldest daughter. I have two interesting granddaughters of 17 and 15 who are black, and my youngest daughter works in London, who has a lesbian relationship too, with a black Nigerian woman, and I really value that these women have brought the issue of race closer in my life. So what are my issues now? I continue to be involved in a women's organisation, and in my ageing I have found a niche with my peer group, exploring the wide ranges of issues which are media, income, health, housing, creativity. I've been the joint coordinator of the Older Women's Network since older women themselves took up that organisation, and I've helped set up groups across Australia and in New South Wales. As an older lesbian, I'm now trying to identify what the issues are for me, a need for a community, managing on a low income. When your assets start to run down, you really start to think of what's going to happen in the future about your services you're going to need. I really need to work less hours. I've never worked so hard in all my life, being a coordinator. We have set up very recently an older lesbian group. Had a little battle within the Older Women's Network, but I think, and in the end, we simply, they've agreed to let us use the premises and put something in the back page. But I think, I'm rather pleased with that, because I think we'll be able to determine what we want to do. We won't be bound by that. But I do like the aims of the Older Women's Network. It is quite political, and it shapes, will help to shape us. And I also concern how I sustain a quality relationship with my partner and develop a community when we each need to hang on to our interests. We're also both very busy. And I guess lastly, I'm really concerned in, I suppose, rather difficult times. I think we've had a good 25 years. One wonders what we're heading into now. And thus is keeping this second wave of feminism rolling and widening.